Hello there and welcome along to the Postcast brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. The panel this week are me, Bruce Millington, and Robbie Wilders and Keith Melrose, looking into an incredible weekend of racing. It's the Dublin Racing Festival. So many grade ones, so many big name horses in action at Leopardstown. And there's also loads and loads of ITV races on Saturday. So tons to get through. In the first part of the show, we will deal with the ITV races in England and Scotland from Sandown and Musselburgh. And then we'll look at Saturday's brilliant card from Leopardstown, plus all the other Saturday fancies. And then in the third part, we'll look at Sunday's second day of the Dublin Racing Festival. Loads to get stuck into. We will start with the 1:45 at Sandown on Saturday on ITV. Now, I should stress, because there's so much going on, we really want to get stuck into the Leopardstown action. We're not going to bring you every single one of the ITV races on Saturday today, but rest assured, if the boys do fancy one that we're not pulling out, they will make sure that they do get that information across to you. But 1:45 Sandown Saturday, 2 miles is the trip for the Virgin Bet Dolos Handicap Chase. And the favourite is Dolos. He's 11-4. Red Rookie 9-2, 6 Frero Bamboo, 7 Eclair Dane, 15-2 Fast Buck, and 9-1 Bar. 8 runners, so plenty of each way opportunity. And Keith, you can go first.
Yeah, it's obviously this was always the Dolos race, and it's nice that they finally named it after him. He's been second, first, second, and first in the race. I think possibly the finishing second in the Haldon might have just about kept his mark a bit high for this year. And for me, this race is all about whether or not Red Rookie's fit. I thought this horse was an absolute snip for some of these good 2 mile handicap chases this year. I thought he shaped an awful lot better than a 140 horse had any right to shape in the Arco last year before he fell. I think it was at the last. And he was going to finish, you know, beating 10, 12 lengths by Edward Stone in what was a fairly steadily run race. But nonetheless, you know, that horse should have a lot of fun off marks about 140. Only had the one run so far this season. That was at Chepstow. The ground would probably have been against him that day. They tend to keep him away from really soft ground. That was Welsh National Day. And that race has had a bit of an advertisement. Fugity Fee was second at Cheltenham last week. Fourth place Phoenix Way got placed in that same race. If he is fit, I'd be very keen on Red Rookie. I just half wonder if he's waiting for the spring. There might be a bit of a just-in-case bet, but I think the main thing here for me is I'm backing this horse basically for every time he runs for the rest of the season, so I can't not have a little bit on today.
Okay, Red Rookie for Keith, but he'll want to see him looking all gleaming and sharp and muscly. Robbie Wilders, who do you fancy for this race?
Yeah, I see Keith's logic. I actually put up Red Rookie for a handicap at that Lingfield Winter Million meeting before it was cancelled. Really interesting horse. Don't think he stayed 2 mile, 3.5 at Chepstow and has come back over Christmas. Entitled to be better for that. Nice novice campaign, was going well in the Arkle. I mean, he does look well handicapped at 138. I think Dolos, I mean, the race obviously revolves around him, but this might be a bit warmer than the last few run-ins that he's won or finished second in. I also think even for third-time lucky, he's about 12-1. He's starting to look really well handicapped off 143. Second run after wind surgery. He's never been one who likes heavy ground, so you can forgive him for his tailed off third at Warwick this month. As I say, second run after wind surgery, back down to 1.43. So I just think it's a pretty warm race and one that I think you can make a case of 3 or 4. So I think I'll probably sit it out. But Red Rookie would be a tentative vote out of.
Okay, 2:20 at Sandown. Now, Leopardstown does not have a monopoly on grade ones this weekend because Sandown stage is the Virgin Bet Scilly Isles Novices Chase over 2 miles and 4 furlongs. There are 5 runners headed by Jerry Colomb at 5-4. And then Balco Coastal is 4-1. Montmorel 9-2, as is Thunder Rock. 66-1, Bow to Greatness. Past winners include the likes of Lom Press, Defi DeSoy, Bristol Demai, top notch. So, generally speaking, only good horses need apply. Is the favourite a good horse? And is he a good thing, Robbie?
Yeah, he's the best horse in the race. But I'm definitely laying him. I think he's plenty short on this ground. He's been kept as soft or heavy throughout his career, and that's probably for good reason. I'm kind of surprised he's running. It almost wouldn't surprise me. I mean, it's good soft now. It could dry out to good potentially. I wouldn't surprise me if he didn't even run. I think Balco Coastal, everything's in his favour, conversely. He was excellent in a handicap at Kempton last time. I know this is a better race,
but he jumped really well. He looks like a much better chaser than Hurdler. Just think he's just been really suited by the 2.5 miles on pretty quick ground. And a couple of these, I wouldn't necessarily say that. So at 4-1, if you're asking me 4-1 Balco or sort of around even money, Jerry Colon, there's only one bet.
Okay, yeah, it's a very, very dry spell we're having, Keith, isn't it? So, you know, the normal image of jump racing taking place in the depths of winter with the mud flying isn't quite the case. So definitely something for punters to factor into. I'm sure punters want to factor into your fancy into their calculations. Who is it?
Talking about the ground before I sort of get into it, and the going stick descriptions are suggesting it's not quite as quick as they're describing. It's going to still be soft side without being winter ground. So I'm not terribly worried for a horse like that. Jerry Colomb, I believe, yeah, as Robbie sort of says, I believe he is sort of here to try and get a bit of softer ground. And he's actually, yes, he's probably the best horse in the race, but strictly on form, he doesn't have much on these. And the one who's got the best form amongst the British horses for me is Thunder Rock. I'm hoping we're going to see a really good demonstration here of the difference between Cheltenham and Sandown as jumping tests, because Thunder Rock, I thought he was the horse to beat in the Dipper when he was third behind the Real Whacker and just behind Mon Morale. His jumping just caught him out a couple of times there because he's very, very slick. And the big fences at Cheltenham just looked a little bit, they got in his way a little bit. Whereas Sandown, yes, there's a lot of fences, in fact, but there's no more fences in this race than there is in the Dipper, 17 in both. But at Sandown, the fences aren't as imposing. They're all about rhythm, they're all about attacking, and that can suit Thunder Rock. His form, I think, is better than Balco Coastal's. They both beat Solo in handicap company before around Christmas time, or it was Christmas time for Balco Coastal, a bit earlier for Thunder Rock. Thunder Rock carried, went around for £9 higher mark, and he beat him just as handsomely. Solo was off a similar mark both times. His form is better than Balco Coastal's. He's taking the fences at least as well. And Sandown's fences, I think, is going to suit him. So for me, Thunder Rock is definitely the bet against Jerry Coulomb. And I'll be quite happy to take some of that 9-2.
Okay. The other ITV race on Saturday we're going to pull out is the 203 at Musselburgh. 13 runners go to post for the Bet365 Edinburgh National. A handicap chase over nearly 4 miles. The ground is good to soft. And the favourite, as things stand, is Slipway at 5-1. And then we've got a trio of horses on sevens. They are Captain Cattystock, Flower of Scotland and Trucker's Lodge. Doyen Breed is 15-2. 10-1, Just Don't Know, The Wolf and Tide Times. 14 bar, 5 places available with Skybet as we speak. To access that information, as I always say, you just go onto the racingpost.com race card and click on the best odds feature, and up come not just the best odds, but the best place terms. And now up comes Keith Vance, Keith's fancy.
I hope I'm not overcomplicating this, because Slipway has really impressed me winning the Highland and Southern Nationals and looks like a horse that could run in the Grand Nationals. So you'd have to give him a good chance of 140. I'm a little disappointed DJ's not here, because I think he's somebody that goes in on the horse I'm going to put up here tentatively. The Wolf, a terrible jumper, just appalling, really. But he usually runs at the big tracks, where the fences, again, a bit like the horse in the last race, the fences tend to get in his way a little bit. Musselburgh isn't as imposing as those tracks. You can skip over the fences a little bit at Musselburgh. The main danger at Musselburgh, jumping wide, is it is a speed track. He ran in this race last year. He was second to Captain Cattystock, and he's lower in the weights now. His runs this season, you know, he's finished second to Lord Accord at Cheltenham. Lord Accord chased home Frodon next time in the Badger Beers. In his last two runs, he's just been caught out for jumping. You know, he ran in the Beecher, which is never going to suit this horse. So he's well handicapped. He's run well in this race before. The blinkers are on, which might just hopefully sharpen him up a little bit. And it's a rare instance where I'll overlook a horse's poor jumping, because he has demonstrably running well in the race before and might just be a bit too big at 10s.
Okay, the Wolf for Keith. Who for Robbie?
Yeah, nice pace from Keith. I was drawn to Dorian Breed. I quite like second season novices in this kind of race. And he just looks like an out-and-out stayer. I mean, last season, he's placing a couple of grade twos behind 3 under through 5. And does he know Ascot? It just looked like he had real prep run over hurdles at Doncaster over Christmas on good ground. That would have been too quick for him. Second run after wind surgery as well, stepping right up and trip. He's off 136. I think he's probably the one that looks the best handicapped in the field, so I'll chance him.
Okay, what else do you fancy on Saturday? Obviously, we're going to leave Leopardstown for later in the show, but we've got Lingfield, we've got Weatherby, we've got Kempton, we've got the TV undercards. Summergan rides runs at Lingfield. So, boys, what have you got? Don't give your naps away, but anything else, either on the ITV undercard or indeed away from the ITV shows, do you fancy? We'll start with you, Robbie.
Yeah, a couple, Bruce. I always like Call Me Lord at Sandown. Saves his best there. He's, all his best RPRs have been at Sandown. He was a good each-way bet, and the Potemps qualifier at 255. He really should have won here two starts back off £2 lower, but you might remember Ben Bromley, the £7 claimer, misjudged the winning line, dropped his whip. He's back on board. He'll be keen to make amends, and he's only £2 higher. He just seems like he went off the ball slightly last season, but he's sort of been back in form this term. Also, I like Socialist Agenda in the Scottish County Hurdle at Musselburgh, 316. He landed this really easily last season off £2 lower. Not been in quite the same form since, but I mean, his last effort, you can completely draw a line through that here in January. He finished sixth, but he was almost wiped out at the start. His race was run before it even began, essentially. He had to make up a lot of late ground to catch up the field. And yeah, he just looks quite well treated. So there are a couple who should be around double figures.
Nice one. Thank you very much, Robbie. Keith, what have you got for us?
Hey, I've got two away. One's my nap, and the other one is the one that would have been my nap, but I've been told by Richard Birch in the last hour or two that he's reportedly not a likely runner if the ground's as lively as they say it is. So we've got the 3:30 at Sandown. It's on the telly. It's the Masters handicap chase. And the horse I'm really interested in is Move the Chains, who last season he just looked like he would basically, it's a 140 horse finding his level. He started winning handicaps off 80, but every run he's getting better and better, and he's winning on the bridle off 117 in the end. Didn't reappear this season until he ran in the Welsh National. Now, as anybody who watches Welsh Nationals know, if you get held up in that race and you're not ridden by Carberry, you're dead. Yeah, this horse moved into that race really positively at the end of the back straight. He even missed the last down the back straight, but he turned in on heels of the leaders, just got tired. Whether he didn't stay or he wasn't fit, I don't know. And given he's over 3 miles here, I don't care. He's demonstrably good over 3 miles. He doesn't need it bottomless. He was 25-1 yesterday. The last that went to the 18-1 is still a good price. If he runs in this race, I honestly wouldn't have said you were wrong if you put him in at single figures. So Move the Chains is a strong bet for me, especially off Niall Houlihan's £3, which is completely unnecessary. He mugged off some of the best jockeys around in the Clarence House last week. So I just thought Move the Chains was a tremendous bet at anything double figures. But it looks like he may not run. So that's why he's not my nap. But I mean, obviously, at this stage where you're getting your money back if he doesn't run, I would definitely recommend people putting a bit on him.
Nice one, Keith. We will get your naps later. Next up, though, let's wallow in the magnificence of the Dublin Racing Festival.
Racing Post Members Club is the ultimate racing subscription, and new customers can give it a try with 50% off your first 3 months. A subscription includes unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, available from 9 p.m. the evening before it's out in shops. Plus, there are daily write-ups from our tipsters, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and plenty more exclusive online content. Click the link in the audio description to learn more and get 50% off your first 3 months.
Welcome back to the Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. So, Dublin Festival, absolutely superb. Loads and loads of people going from Britain to Ireland this year. They're going to enjoy 2 days of sensational racing. Loads and loads of grade ones. We'll tackle the grade ones and then we'll see what else the lads fancy. Saturday first, obviously, and we start with the 120, which is the Nathaniel Lacey and Partners Solicitors 50,000 Cheltenham bonus for stable staff novice hurdle over 2 miles and 6 furlongs. We've got 9 runners. And unlike a lot of the races, this is pretty competitive. There's a kind of compromise here this weekend because you've got a lot of quality, but the consequence of that is that you've got a lot of short prices. Not the case here, however. Goodland favourite at 11-4. Kay de Paris 5-1. We've All Been Caught is 11-2. 6-1 Sandor Clegane. 13-2 in American Mike, 7 Grange Clare West and 14 Bar. And Robbie, you can lead on. Who do you like here?
Yeah, this is a quality race. It sort of wouldn't surprise me if five or six of these won. I mean, there's a lot of...
It would surprise me if five or six won. I think only... You might get a dead heat, but I can't see five or six.
You've been,
but anyway,
you've been pedantic. He knows what.
I know what you mean.
I will be... What I do think is good land. I can't really understand his price. He looks... The value of his form looks pretty similar to a lot of these, so I don't really understand why he's a completely clear favourite. I'm going to stick with We've All Been Caught. His form's working out really well. Obviously, he's made an hurdle win over Rock My Way with Frank last weekend. That horse won a grade two in pretty good fashion. He's making the journey over. Twist and Davis wouldn't send many to Ireland at all. He's come out and said this is his Gold Cup. I don't know how much to read into that, but I think he's going to be even better with a bit of soft ground and another couple of furlongs to play with. So We've All Been Caught for me.
And I hope that wins, not for any sort of patriotic reasons or anything like that, because I don't go in for all that, but simply because I think it is still a massive, massive shame and a fairly lamentable situation that so few horses go from Britain to Ireland for this. So if the Twisters bring this one off, it does just show it can be done and maybe will encourage people to be a little bit more bold in future. Rant over. Keith, who wins?
I've not got a huge... I watch this race to see who wins the Martin Pipe normally, but I tend not to bet on it, and I'll probably be doing the same again. So I don't really have a view on it. But I agree with you. I hope the Twist and Davies do get a result out of it. But they are, you know, Nigel Twist and Davies would be in the top three trainers that you'd fancy would have a go at this anyway. So I don't know who...
What's stopping them, Keith? Honestly, Keith, I remember Hendo said a couple of years ago, I'm not taking them on in their own backyard. What if the Irish took that attitude? They wouldn't come to Cheltenham. It's just a race course. I just don't understand the reticence. I really, really don't.
It's just habit. It's like everything. They're just... Trainers are massive creatures of habit. And this is just another...
Irish trainers are. They come over all the time. They don't care.
No, Mullins is a creature of habit. He runs his best RSA horse in the same race every year. You know, he's a creature of habit in different ways. Okay. But, you know, there's umpteen ways that they are, and a lot of them are hokum, to be quite honest with you, and I think this is one.
Okay, well, we will be mentioning Willie Mullins a fair bit, I think, particularly in the context of our next race, the 155, the Donoghue Marquis Spring Juvenile Hurdle over 2 miles for four-year-olds, and we have 8 runners, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of which come from the Willie Mullins camp. We've got one from Henry de Bromhead and one trained by Postcast legend Brendan Dukes, father of the same name. Lossy Mouth, red hot favourite for the Triumph. She is looking absolutely mustard. She's 4-11 best price here. And then 5-2 Gallimarco, 14 Gust of Wind, 14 to Cow, 25 Bar. Keith, can anything get close to Lossy Mouth?
Probably not. I mean, there's a lot of these shorties this weekend at Leopardstown that I'm thinking they're shorter than they should be, but I really can't realistically try and get them beat. There's a few that I can. Lossy Mouth's not one of them.
Okay. And by the way, we've averted that awful situation where you're going to have two horses called Lossy Mouth with different breeding suffixes running within an hour of each other. Because I think Lossy Mouth is obviously an Irish bred. The British bred Lossy Mouth, I think, is a non-runner now, having been declared. So that takes that confusion away. What will Lossy Mouth do here, do you think, Rob?
Yeah, Lossy Mouth is going to win this, I'll be pretty sure. Form is miles clear of the rest. I mean, Gallimarco is the second favourite. Beaten her comprehensively here in the Knight Frank Juvenile. £3 worse off as well. In total, to get potentially closer as a stable debut, but still. I'd maybe, if I'm looking for a bet, I'd maybe consider Gust of Wind or Sinza without the favourite. Stable debutants for Willie Mullins. In this race last year, Illite Tom, Mullins ran 4 or 5, and Illite Tom, 40-1 chance, fared best of the rest behind Vauban, who was odds on. So kind of similar line through that. I'm just trying to find an angle in, but it's tough, isn't it? You don't really know what you're dealing with these stable debutants. So I think probably just sit back and watch Lossy Mouth win.
Okay, the 2:30 at Leopard Centre on Saturday is the Goths Irish Arkle, a novice chase over 2 miles and 1 furlong. We have 8 runners and Appreciate It is 7-4 Fav. Dysart Dynamo 11-4. El Fabio 13-2. All 3 trained by that man Mullins. Banbridge 7-1. Sanra 12. 14 Field Door. 20 Flame Bearer. 40 Visionary. And what a race, Robbie Wilders.
Yeah, this is an amazing, brilliant race. Yeah, I mean,
people might slag off Mullins for having all the good horses, but he's certainly not afraid to run them against each other. I think Townend's probably called it correct with Appreciate It riding him. I think he's just the horse for the here and now. He's obviously 9 years old. He's in his prime. He's gone off second favourite for a champion hurdle last year. And you can't exactly say he's not taken to fences. Yeah, I think he's called that right. And I mean, we're going to learn plenty, aren't we? But horses like El Fabiolo, Dice Up Dynamo, I think are probably going to be better in the future. Whereas Appreciate It is very much the here and now. So I think he'll probably win.
Do you agree with that, Keith?
Not especially. I mean, I find Mullins an absolute nightmare to read before races, but once he's declared them all, it's a little bit, you know, more, a little bit less opaque. And my inference is he doesn't necessarily know who his best is, looking at this. And the jockey bookings, I don't think, tell you an awful lot. You know, we've got San Raz, Mark Walsh, that's, you know, it's McManus, so Mark Walsh is going to ride him. El Fabiolo's Daniel Jacob, Munir Suede, so Daniel Jacob's going to ride them. Then it's between Appreciate It and Dice Up Dynamo, really, and only one of them's gone off 130 for a champion hurdle. So the jockey bookings aren't telling you a whole lot. And if Mullins isn't making some quite forceful assertions over who his best is, there's a little bit of room to say they're beatable. And I would have a little bit on Banbridge. I'm not giving up on him. Obviously, he's won at Cheltenham last year. He won the Martin Pipe. And at Cheltenham in November, he looked like a really good horse. He smacked Tommy's Oscar, who has since shown that he's not far off his hurdles level as a chaser. He won the Lightning last week. He's second in a handicap of a massive mark. So that was a really good performance. The clock backed it up, actually. And he doesn't become a bad horse just because he got beat in the Drinmore. You know, it was the 2.5 miles that day. Mighty Potter, who's a very impressive horse that's running on Sunday. You can give him that one run. And that being the case in a race where I don't think anything's massively standing out, I would just take a wee chance on Banbridge, but it might be coloured, full disclosure, by the fact I'm still carrying an Arcole anti-post slip with some hope on him.
Yeah, loyalty tip asterisk next to that. 3:05 Leopardstown. It's the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup over 3 miles. And how good is Galopin des Champs? We will find out so much more today. 1-3 to beat 6 rivals who are headed by Statler at 9-2. Good old Ken Boy's 14, Fury Road 22, and it's 40 and bigger, the 3 outsiders. Keith, where do you stand on Galopin des Champs? I've got him and Fassar Vega down as the 2 lays of the festival, but I must admit my confidence was a little bit dented by what happened last time.
I wouldn't be laying him here. I'm set to write something for Saturday's paper, and my sort of view is that I'm through softballing him. Now, he's clearly a very, very good horse, but to justify the sort of prices he's going off and the regard he's held in for a horse that's never run in a 3 mile chase, you know, he's asking an awful lot, and he's not shown me that much yet. He's obviously a very good horse. I won't bet in this race before the off. I will see, if they start racing halfway down that back straight and it looks like becoming a slog, I might go in on Statler in running, because Statler's a plausible Gold Cup winner. Looked very, very good at the festival last year, and he basically lost a sprint with Manella Lindo from 2 out at Tremor on New Year's Day when he was given that horse £8. He's a proper Gold Cup contender for me, but he does stay very, very well. So I'd only back him to beat Galopin des Champs if it looks like being a test, and I would give myself the benefit of watching half the race first before I do it. So no bet before the race, but I'll be keeping my eye on it and running.
How about you, Robbie?
The way I'm looking at it is I don't want to take on Galopin. I think he's going to win. I think he's going to win. He's the best horse in the race. He deserves to be that sort of price. Statler might be slightly better over a bit further. I was thinking Fury Road. I was thinking initially without Galopin, but I think he's a good bet without Galopin and Statler around 5-2. I think he's going to beat Kenboy. Kenboy's 11 now. I think he's slightly past his best. I know he finished slightly ahead of Fury Road at Leopardstown, but Fury Road really seems on the upgrade this year and proved he can handle soft ground now. As a career best RPR, he's very much on the upgrade. And yeah, I think just with a lot of these odds on favourites, I think it's quite important to look at these without markets.
Yeah, so some bookmakers are betting without Galopin and Statler. So basically just the other 5 runners, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just trying to find an angle in. I think like Kenboy is a fair bit short on Fury Road. I'm not sure that's necessarily right. So.
Cool. And obviously, you know, these days, Robbie, it is so important, isn't it? Bookmakers are offering so many more different markets, match bets and distances and all that kind of thing. You know, there's plenty of ways to skin a cat here, isn't there?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, if like place lays is quite good as well. It's not always about the outright, Ben.
Absolutely. Okay, chaps, is there anything else on that Saturday Leopardstown card that you fancy, Keith?
No.
And what about you, Rob?
No, that's about it for me, Bruce.
Great. Loads more brilliant action to come in a matter of seconds.
Hello, racing world. Dave Orton here, the bona fide larger-than-life captain of the Racing Post live studio. Every Saturday, we go forward. Myself and an esteemed panel will be talking you through all the best of Saturday's action, showcasing the brand new Racing Post app. All along the previews, we'll be giving you all the stories as they happen, loads of tips, loads of live in running reaction, and of course some raucous laughs along the way. That's Racing Post Live every Saturday. Subscribe to the YouTube channel so you don't miss a thing.
Welcome back to the third and final part of the postcast brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. It's Bruce Millington, Robbie Wilders and Keith Melrose looking into some brilliant racing on Sunday. ITV4 are showing five races from day two of the Dublin Racing Festival, as well as three up at Musselburgh. We're going to focus on the grade ones at Leopardstown on Sunday, and we will start with the 140, which is the Ladbrokes Novices Chase over 2 miles and five furlongs, and Mighty Potter is 5-4 fav. James de Burleigh is 3, and then it's 5, Galliard de Mayneal, and 14, Bar. We have 6 runners, and it's time for Robbie Wilde's selection.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's just Mighty Potter v. the rest of them, really, isn't it? He's got the best chase form, hasn't he? He's won that Drimmore pretty well. Banbridge, obviously, 3rd, gives that form a good look. And Galliard de Mayneal. I'm gonna watch this and hope that Galliard de Mayneal runs well, because I'm on him for the Brown Advisory, I think. He's been campaigned quite interestingly this year. I mean, I wouldn't want to have taken the even money about him in the National Hunt Chase, to be honest, because I'm not getting the impression he's going to be running there. He's run really well over shorter this season. I think it's Mighty Potter, but also shout out for James de Burleigh as well, because he did look very good in his debut. But
crystallise that into a betting advice? You threw in another one there. Kilcroft's got a chance as well, isn't
it? Right. Yeah, what am I saying there? It's been a long day.
Right, in a sentence, are you going to... Two questions for you. Are you going to have a bet on this race?
Nah.
What would it be?
Mighty Potter, but I will hope that Galliard de Mayneal wins.
Thank you. Keith, for even more succinct analysis, if you can.
it's interesting. As Galliard de Mayneal, I thought he was pegged for the National Hunt Chase, but the jockey bookings here suggest, you know, maybe not. He's Townend's chosen him over Kilcroot. But and as I said, alluded to earlier, this used to always be the race Mullins would run his Brown Advisory horse in. So it's interesting that Galliard de Mayneal seemingly the first string here. But like Robbie, James de Burleigh is the one I would be looking at. He had real class as a hurdler, took the fences really well in his first run. It was a long time off he had before that run too, so you can imagine him coming on for it. And yes, Mighty Potter's Drinmore win was quite convincing, but at the same time, he wasn't necessarily beating a 2.5 miler in Galliard de Mayneal, and Banbridge, I don't think, ran his race. So horse to be picked in that form, and James de Burleigh is the one I'd be taking to oppose him.
Thank you very much, Keith. The short price favourite, Claxon, goes again for the 2.10 at Leopardstown on Sunday. The Ladbrokes Dublin Chase, 2 miles and one furlong, and Blue Lord is 2-7. Gentleman de Me, 7-1. 10-1, good old So Royale. 16, Dunn Vegan, and 50, Fast or Slow. Nice and quickly here, Keith, is there a way in? Is Blue Lord just going to turn up and win? What do you think?
Yeah, I think the weigh-in might be the Munir Suwedi forecast. Blue Lord probably will win this race. He looked really good last time when he won at Christmas here. But So Royal, he's not got much to find, if anything, against any of these horses. He's so dependable and has been for best part of half a decade now, at least, you know. So, yeah, I can see him finishing second to Blue Lord, so I might play that forecast.
Okay. Robbie. Who do you like?
Yeah, Robbie Wilders, mate. You almost called me Robbie Fowler earlier as well.
I almost called you Robbie Fowler. I almost called you Robbie Williams at one point as well. And then David Jennings. So apologies for that.
No worries, mate. I apologise for my very round in circle analysis of the last race. Let me give you something a little bit more succinct this time. This is another race I'm looking at without markets. I think Blue Lord's too good here, but he's 2-7. So that's not really making any appeal. I think Dunvegan's interesting. He's rated the same over fences as So Royal and Gentleman to Me.
not like Gentleman Demir at all this season. I thought, I mean, he's beaten Edwards Turner at Aintree in the Grand National meeting, but he's just not been the same in three starts. I don't know what's wrong with him. So Royal, for all he's been brilliant, this is first run in Ireland, which is kind of interesting, and he's 11. He's going to eventually deteriorate, isn't he? Whereas Dunvegan, I mean, he likes it here. He finished second to Chak and Pessoir in this race last season, and he seems to still be in pretty decent form, his runs this term. So just the fact that Dunvegan is way bigger in the betting than Sorrow and Jensen than me opens that up for the Without Blue Lord angle.
That's interesting. You say about Sorrow and Robbie, his first run in Ireland. They always say the British trainers, don't they, when they go over Ireland, they say the fences are lovely over there, which means they're small, I think. And Sorrow has always been a very slick jumper. So I wonder if it'll suit him.
We shall see. Highlight of the weekend for me is the 3:10 at Leopardstown on Sunday. It's the Chanel Farmer Irish Champion Hurdle over 2 miles. Six runners, State Man 6-5, Honeysuckle 2, Vauban 7-2, and then 50 Pied Piper, 66 Zanahir, and 250 Takarenga. I mean, that shows what a great race it is that you've got such huge prices about decent horses like Pied Piper. But looks like it is the front three who the market expects to dominate. If that is the case, Robbie, who do you think will come out on top? This is some race, isn't it?
Yeah, some race. This is another one, Bruce. We were talking about alternative markets earlier, weren't we? I'd be place laying Honeysuckle, I think. I mean, yeah, she has been brilliant, and she might still be just as good as she's ever been. I mean, maybe there was an overreaction to the Hatton's Grace defeat. Tia Poo's come out and obviously franked that form. But in State Man, she probably faces almost as good a horse as she's ever faced. And I don't think there's much between Vauban and State Man. I think Vauban's going to get a lot closer to State Man on that Leopardstown run over Christmas. That was his first run. He was 4-year-old, turning five. I think it's between those two. And I think I'd marginally favour Vauban. I just think he was one of the best sort of juvenile hurdles we've seen in many years. And he's about 7-2. I'd have him a little bit closer in. And I think Honeysuckle, I'm afraid, a time might be up at the very, very top level just because this crop of hurdlers looks better than for the last few years.
You meanie. No romanticism there, but the cool, calculating, clinical punting mind of Robbie thinks that Honeysuckle is a place lay. So if you do lay her for a place, she's got to finish out the front too. What do you make of this race, Keith?
Just looking at the official ratings, how did Honeysuckle ever get rated 165? Anyway, I want State Man to win. I want State Man to win well because so that when Constitution Hill smashes him in turn at Cheltenham, we can rate him higher than Estabrack.
Oh, right. OK. Oh, yeah, as a ratings man, that's exciting, that, isn't it? What would that number be?
I think it's what was Estabrack on RPRs? 180? He was like 180, 181, 182 time form. They're the figures we're looking at to get to that level. And Constitution Hill, if State Man beats Honeysuckle and Vauban by 5 or 6, you'll go to that race 170. And then Constitution Hill beats him by 10 in turn, then you're looking at those figures. Yeah,
that's okay, but your ratings fetish aside, what do you actually think will happen?
I think, well, Robbie's absolutely right. He's a better horse than Sonny's Honeysuckle. £2 on official ratings, they say, but God, there's so much more than that in it. He's a much better horse than her, even with a £7 allowance. I think he's a good horse. I would be backing State Man.
You'd be backing State Man. Righty-ho. And finally, the 3:40 at Leopardstown on Sunday is the Tattersalls Island Novices Hurdle, yet another grade one. Over 2 miles, 7 runners, and Fasal Vega is 1-2. High definition, 15-2. 10-1 in the pocket, 12-1 Dark Raven and Ilete Tomp, as well as Irish Point, 40-1 the outsider, no looking back. And you guys are the tipsters, but I will definitely be backing High Definition. I think he was really good last time. I think Fasal Vega's reputation and ancestry is permeating that one's price. So I wait to see whether you think I'm wrong or right. And we'll start with you, Keith.
I'm slightly annoyed that Gaelic Warrior doesn't run because I thought Fasal Vega might have to beat a horse this time. I mean, High Definition might be that good, but obviously his flat form determines it to an extent, but it doesn't strike the sort of horse that's going to absolutely thrive over hurdles in the long run.
Right. His favourite for the Derby, wasn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was.
Who was backing him then for the Tattersalls Island Novice Hurdle at that point?
Well, yes, I take your point. But he did it all right on his debut, didn't I? Hurdles out, didn't they, which probably helped him. But I thought he stayed on really well. I think he could be
out. He looked, I mean, yeah, they took some hurdles out and you know, your percentage cobble horses like him, is always, they're not going to take to it. They're not here by choice. They're here by necessity. And yeah, the percentage cobbles to go against horses like that, and the fact they took so much out of Leopardstown at Christmas time, just it means he's not done enough to sway that call that you would make. So Fast Al Vega probably wins. I was really keen to get him beat if Gaelic Warrior ran, but he's not, so probably just watch him win half a race again and then everybody gets excited.
Okay, Robbie, can you fashion a betting opportunity here?
Yeah, I've got a light on there. It's not, again, I think Fast Al's going to be too strong. This isn't the strongest grade one at all. The rank outside and no looking back is kind of interesting. I think this trainer, Oliver McKeon, punches above his weight quite a bit. He had a third in the grade one behind Home by the Lee over Christmas. This horse is quite interesting. I mean, he's come out and beaten Brazil in a grade two over Christmas. I know it was a two-runner race and it was very tactical, but I thought he did it quite nicely. It was only second run over hurdles. It's got an interesting profile in any case. And I just don't think his form entitles him to be sort of 40-1. So there must be some value in the about market. I don't think there's a massive amount between the other horses behind Fast Al Vega. So that is the bet for me.
Thank you very much. Right then, so we've got loads more great races at Leopardstown. We've got three TV races at Musselburgh, and they're also racing at Hereford on Sunday. Do you have anything else you want to tell the listeners about here, Robbie?
Nah, that's me done, I think, Bruce.
Okay, are you all done, Keith?
Yeah, I toyed with Hassanki at Musselburgh on Sunday, but he's not even the strongest Lorna Morgan trained chaser at Musselburgh over the weekend, as we're about to find out.
Let's get the naps then. If you're only backing one horsey all weekend, who would it be? Keith Melrose.
Yeah, so I'm hoping this is a weekend where people who go for the ostensible low-hanging fruit get egg on their face. We've got Jerry Coulomb coming over to the Silly Isles, but we've also got Paul Nichols sending one up for the Frodon Novices Limited Handicap Chase, the 128 at Musselburgh on Saturday, as well as John McConnell sending one over in Drumbear. I hope, and I'll be betting to back this up, that Laura Morgan will see them both off with not long till May. Could not have been more impressive when winning over course and distance in January. Got up £10 for that. It's lenient, if anything. Absolutely dotted up that day. And could end up in graded races. Wouldn't be at all surprised to see this horse run in something like the 2.5 mile grade one at Aintree. So up 134 in this race, named in honour of Frodon, I would be very keen on not long till May.
And what time's that one again, Keith?
For the second time, Bruce, it's the 128.
Jolly good. I missed it first time. That was all. I wasn't accusing you of making the Cardinal postcast in. No, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. I wasn't pulling you up. I just missed it first time. Right, Robbie, have you got on
that? Yeah. Bruce, you've done that to me before as well. So I'm Team Keith. I thought one now, mate.
Yeah, but hang on a sec. My record for pulling people up when they haven't named the race or the meeting, as opposed to when they have, is absolutely monumentally in favour of when they haven't. So if you have to say it twice, it's better than never. But go on, Jenny.
I've been in T-shoes before, mate. But I'm going to go for 3:05 at Leopardstown, Irish Gold Cup, Fury Road to beat Kenboy. It's kind of a niche market, but you get about 5-2 without Statler and Gallopan. I think that's
Fury Road. Right. So look, what's the journey there? Someone goes onto their betting account. What do they do? They go onto the website and click on
the race up, go alternative markets. They would go without the favourite. And in an extra column, there's without the favourite and second favourite. Then you click Fury Road, input your stake, and the bet's on.
Thank you. You do have to explain this to people because not everybody understands the vagaries of those things. And going back to the times when we started these postcards in all those dim and distant years, you get DJ and he'd come on and he'd go, in the novice chase, I fancy that. And in the maiden hurdle, I fancy that. And in the handicap chase, I fancy that. And you're like, well, when are these races?
Yeah, it's a bit overwhelming, isn't it? Yeah, because when you're listening,
very,
you're
very
hoping the card
about it. I'm sorry, gents. You are both very fastidious about times. And you are both absolutely full of wisdom, for which I am very appreciative. Also appreciative of the efforts of our brilliant producer, Sam Hart. But most of all, thank you, the audience, for tuning into another postcast. We're back next Friday looking ahead to a cracking card at Newbury. In the meantime, we've got the front page on Monday. We've got the sweet spot on Tuesday. Keep it racing post next week. We'll see you next Friday for another postcast.